George Blass Sr. from DeRidder, Louisiana, to preach for us tonight. And it is a fact that I feel like saying so many, many, many things and about my dad, my father being here, and what a privilege it is, and all the many memories that I have. The first thing I remember in life, I guess, as I look back over it, is my father praying for me. And this is very sweet and wonderful memories. So many things I could say, would like to say, but you didn't come to hear me say these things. To reminisce, we've come to hear the Word of God. You say amen today. And my father pastors a great church in DeRidder, Louisiana. And he's driven up here to preach for us tonight and tomorrow night. And you're in for a treat, I guarantee you. The only thing is, it's going to make you home folks especially dissatisfied from this time on. But we'll weather that again by the help and grace of God. We're so happy that you're here, Dad. God bless you as you come and preach tonight. Say praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for those kind remarks and greetings to all of you. God bless you. You really go to church when it's raining. Brother, you really go. That's something. Thank the Lord. I sometimes think that's one reason why the Lord lets us have such weather as this some nights. Just to see if you will. Now, I've got scripture to prove that, but I won't take time. And another thing is, it gives you parents a wonderful privilege to train your children. Not teach them, train them. You bring your child out to church a night like this, you're telling that child something that your words doesn't say. You're leaving something in their mind that church is important. If you only go when the sun's shining, when you feel good, you're telling them church isn't too important. Then you wonder why they don't live for God when they get older. That first sermon was good, wasn't it? Yes. How many of you agree with me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. The Lord gives you a chance to train your children as well as teach them. And that's the way you train them. You get up and go to Sunday school Sunday morning, every Sunday, regardless. You're making them know it's important. But if at every other Sunday you go visiting, and whenever the weather's bad, and you don't feel too good, go to Sunday school once or twice a month, you're training them. When there's somewhere else to go, go. When there's nowhere else to go, go to church. And I'll tell you, they can find somewhere else to go. So you see why the Lord lets it rain some Sunday morning, just raining. One preacher said, down dogs and cats, and he was censured for it. But went and got a book of words, and they say that's correct. That means it's just a deluge, a downpour, a gully washer. Sometimes you have them. And the Lord lets you have it to train your child. You ought to do a good job. Hey, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. Always a treat to come north Little Rock. No sacrifice. I never have. Sacrificed one moment of time here, never have. Never been here, but what I enjoy. I'm so thrilled and happy for what I see and what I feel tonight. Thank the Lord. I'm so happy, I'm just got to say it. I'm so happy to see a dear little lady here tonight that's doing so much better. Just thrills me. Just thrills me. Praise God. And of course, for your pastor, he said one of the first things he remembered of me was praying for him and praying over him. Well, so far, those prayers are being answered. I still got some more yet. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Lord bless the North Little Rock Church, this one. I've been around a little these 43 years, and I know a lot of churches that the number you hear in attendance does not nearly about give you a clear picture of the church. Now, I'm not casting any reflection, but I know churches over the country, if you hear their Sunday school report, you'd think, boy, they got something going. You go to their services and find the church, just this midweek services, two or three nights revival, that number doesn't give you a true picture. But this church has always been different from that to me. A number doesn't give the strength of this church. It doesn't. This is the strongest church that I know in our fellowship for the number of people. It seems like that some of you just make up for four or five. They're so strong, so faithful and dependable in the work of God. I'm sincere when I say that. And I don't remember ever saying that. Some of you are waiting for something that is not going to transpire until after the church is raptured. I believe that. And I'm just going to mention two or three things here tonight and let you think about it, because it's really doing something to me. Now, a lot of people are waiting for what is called the beast, the world ruler. They're waiting for him to take his seat and declare himself. But I can't see where the church is going to be here when that happens. Now let me read something. Let me read it. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Something is withholding him being revealed. Now I want you to think, what is that that's withholding? Now ye know what withholdeth, that's holding back him going to the throne. Something right now is holding him back. What is that? That he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed.
Something is going to have to be taken out of the way that's holding him back. Now you answer, what is that? Now you just answer. What is there in this world that's going to be taken away? Nothing but the church. And when the church is gone, then he's to be revealed. Don't wait for him to be revealed. Oh, that stirs me. It makes me want to lay aside every weight, everything in the world. Praise the Lord. Now you search that. You just study. Before God would rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, he told Lot, get out of this city. I can't do nothing till you get out of here. Well, brother, if the Lord would take half-backslidden Lot out of Sodom before he done anything, how much more is he going to come after his church before? Praise the Lord. That's just part of what I'm stirred up about. Another is, a lot of people is waiting for the Jews to accept Christ as Messiah. The Jews are not going to do that as long as the church is on this earth. Now I'll show you. You read the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. God did not turn to the Gentiles, Gentiles until the Jews were cut off. The Jewish nation is referred to here as a tree, the cause of God. And that natural branch was cut off. And the wild olive branch was grafted in, which is the Gentile. It was not grafted in till the natural was cut off. And the natural is not going to be grafted in until the wild is cut off. And God has done more with the Jews already than a lot of Bible scholars expected him to do. Brother, that stirs me. Now the thing you're waiting for, the gospel to be preached in all the world. Hear me say this? I doubt seriously if the Gentiles ever will, and I'm doing all I can to do it. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish nation when he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And let me tell you where the Jews are right now. They're scattered all over the world. They speak every language. Every nation you go to, you'll find Jews. They're already planted there. They know the customs. They know the language. They know their people. They know their country. And they're going to accept the Lord as one people, not one at a time, as a people. And when they do, they're going to immediately evangelize the whole world, and the church is going to be gone. Brother, I'm telling you, I'm just so ready to go.
Praise the Lord!
Nobody. Never read that in no book. That come to me like a flash of bolt of lightning. Praise God. Lord knows what he's doing. And church, you want to go to the Lord, you better pack up. Praise the Lord, you better pack up. You better pray up. You better pay up. You better get ready. Praise the Lord. Let's love the Lord, will you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Such a privilege to be here. Your pastor called and told me what he wanted. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. That's why I'm here. Thank the Lord. I really feel, I don't want to say proud, I don't want to misrepresent anything, but nothing thrills me more than go to the pulpit of one of these sons and preach to their people. I kind of feel like I'm preaching to a bunch of my grandchildren. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. After knowing that I was to come, I prayed at home. Knew I was going to be driving up here today. So I took some time at home praying, seeking God about what I should use in this service tonight, also tomorrow night. And I feel this thought on my heart that I want to share with you. And it comes from the 12th verse of the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, I've underscored this portion of this verse. They, measuring themselves by themselves. You ever see anyone do that? I'm not as big as you are. I'm not as heavy as you are. You ladies ever hear anybody talk like that? They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And we're so guilty of it. So guilty. We always describe someone else by using someone else. Trying to tell you about Mr. John Doe. You've never seen him, never met him. Well, then I'll try to reach into your acquaintance, someone that you know, and I'll say, well, you know so-and-so, yes. Well, just about his size reminds me of him a lot. We're comparing ourselves among ourselves, measuring ourselves by ourselves. And when we do that, the scripture says we are not wise. I don't mean that you're making a mistake when you say so-and-so reminds me of so-and-so. I'm just illustrating here and want to bring this into a spiritual sense. I have a brother. Well, I have more than one. Thank the Lord for every one of them. And he's just as bald-headed as a doorknob. I don't know how many people I've heard in his presence describing someone, and they'll say, well, He's not quite as bald-headed as Bill. Or he is as bald-headed as Bill. And one day Bill got enough of it. He said, I'm just tired of you using me as a measuring stick. Just leave me out of it. You're going to describe somebody, leave me out of it. Well, that's us. That's us. We're just as prone to do that as it is to live. And I want to show you the danger of it in a spiritual sense, not necessarily in the natural. But if we don't watch, these practices in the natural will come into our spiritual life. If we don't watch it, it's the spirit of the age, it's a practice of the people, and it's very easy to pick it up in a spiritual sense. Now let me show you one in the scripture comparing himself with someone else. And it was a church. It wasn't out on the streets. It was a church. And he wasn't comparing himself with someone on the streets. He's comparing himself with someone at church. It was our prayer meeting, too. And now, not everybody goes to prayer meetings. There's fewer people go to prayer meetings than there are any other announced meeting in a church. And there isn't any meeting that you need to be in more than you need to be in a prayer meeting. Now, that's true. But you've always got 50 miles of elbow room in a prayer meeting. That's true. And this transpired in a prayer meeting. And this man was actually praying. And he said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I am no unjust man. I am no extortioner. I'm no adulterer. I thank you that I fast twice a week and I pay my tithes. I'm not like this man over here. Now, why didn't he leave that man out of it? Why didn't he? But he's comparing himself with someone else. And he's reminding the Lord that I am what I am. And I am not like this man. I am better than that man. But the truth of it was, he wasn't as good as that man. Now that was the truth of it. The other man that he compared himself with, he wasn't even looking at that publican or that Pharisee. He wasn't looking at him. Praise God, he was down on his face. Instead of smiting someone else, he was smiting himself. Amen. Praise God. There's the best thing in the world for you to do. If you're going to hit somebody, hit yourself. Hit yourself. That's what this man was doing. Just a praying and a pounding on himself. Just a pounding on himself. And the Lord said that man was justified more than the other. You see, it's dangerous to bring someone else into your spiritual life. Very dangerous. One of the most dangerous things you can do. Best thing for you and me to do is leave that other person alone and take Christ as your pattern. Become as much like Christ as you can. When you start comparing yourself with someone else, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not wise. And I'm going to show you some more in the scripture. I'll show you. Let's go to the spies that went down into Jericho, Canaan's land, spying out the land. For 40 years, they'd heard about the land. They'd heard about it. They had actually not seen it. They had not tasted of the fruit, the goodies of it. They had not. They had only heard. And there may be some in our audience tonight that has really never tasted to see that the Lord is good. I wish you would. I wish you would. But maybe all you've heard or all you know about the Lord and His goodness is what you've heard us say, what you've heard preached from the pulpit, what you've heard people testify to. In all probability, that's all many people will ever know about the Lord, is what they've heard. Now these spies had heard it from Moses. Moses had gotten it by revelation from God of the good fruit of the land. And now they're sent into that land to see for themselves. They're going to see for themselves. And they crossed over River Jordan into Canaan's land, and they found everything that Moses told them was there. Everything. The fruit of the land was amazing. It was everything Moses told them it was. Everything. And they testified to it. They come back and brought grapes with them. And then they were privileged to testify to the people. And they testified this publicly. The land is everything you said it was. And I'd like for you people to hear me say this. This glorious kingdom of God is everything you've ever heard us say it is and more. If you would come to know the Lord, you'd love that old song, "The Half Has Never Yet Been Told." Praise the Lord. Tell you honest truth, the Lord's become so much of my life, such a part of me. I don't see how you people that don't have God, I don't see how you live. I'm going to be honest, I don't see how you face tomorrow. I'd hate to know that I had to get up in the morning without God. I mean that. I'm not just saying that, people. I mean it. You're in a dark, hell-bound world. In trouble, getting in more trouble every day we live. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But thank God there is a people that knows who holds tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We can sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me on." Oh, yes.
I never will forget years ago, Port Arthur, Texas. Your pastor was a small boy, and we were there. There was a lot of wonderful French people in that country, and a lot of them in church. They're great people, great people. Some of them are not able to speak as good an English as others. And I've sat on the platform and bit my lip, bit my tongue to keep from laughing at something they'd say, because I wouldn't have them to see me laugh at what they would say for nothing in the world. And the rest of them wouldn't say anything if they thought you'd laugh at them. So that's one reason I tell people, you should never laugh on the platform. People don't know what you're laughing at out there. Just don't know. They were testifying to the goodness of the Holy Ghost, how good the Holy Ghost was. There was a great big Frenchman. He hadn't had the Holy Ghost too long, and he loved God. He just got up, stood up, standing. He was seated next to the aisle. He got out in the aisle, and he crossed those big arms this way, and he looked all around. He said, "Hey, any of you talk about how good the Holy Ghost is? If anyone here with the Holy Ghost and don't want him, give him to me. I want two." That is his expression. Their idea of anyone having the Holy Ghost and not wanting it, it's the greatest gift God has ever given to man.
And I say again, my friends, you've heard us tell about this, but the half has never yet been told. I wish you could taste and see that the Lord is good. It's everything we ever said it was. They're privileged to testify. But then they made the mistake of their life. And this is the mistake that many of you are making. Many of you are making. They compared themselves with the inhabitants of Canaan's land. They got their eyes off of the grapes. They got their eyes off of the land that flows with milk and honey. They forgot about walking across the sea on dry land. They forgot about eating the manna fresh from heaven. They forgot about the cool, sparkling water they drank from a rock. They forgot all of this and compared themselves to the giants that lived in the land. You see, they that compare themselves among themselves, measure themselves by themselves, they're not wise. They're not wise. They're not wise. They said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And that's exactly what's keeping some people from serving God. They look at themselves and then they look at the opposition, leaving God out of the picture. Leaving God out of the picture. What ought we do like David? When David saw the giant, 9 feet tall and better, and him just a late teenage, ruddy-faced, red-headed young man, and he's ready to go fight that giant. He didn't compare himself to the giant. If he had, he'd have wilted in his tracks. He would have fainted with fear. But you know what David did? He compared the giant to the God that gave him the victory over the bear and over the lion. How do we do it that way? Praise the Lord. Forget the task. Forget it. God's in this. I'm comparing the opposition to my God. And there's no sea, there's no river, there's no storm, there's nothing, there's no devil or nothing else has ever kept God from doing what he's determined to do. And God's determined to save the church. Let's love the Lord. Will you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They that measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves among themselves, they're not wise. You will lose when you do it. These 10 spies are forgotten. Joshua and Caleb are remembered. They are remembered because of this. They said, we are more than able. God delights in us, and the Lord will give us the land. And that's the faith we need in God today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let me come a little closer home, show you why it's unwise to measure yourself among yourselves, by yourselves, compare yourselves among yourselves. When you do, you are invariably going to pick out someone to compare yourself with that leaves you feeling good and looking good. You'll do that invariably. That's why a sinner will always pick out a hypocrite in the church. Never look at a good one. Now, if you're here, sinner, I've got your number. I've got it. You come to our churches and pick anybody out, you're going to pick out a hypocrite. Why? It leaves you looking good. It leaves you looking good. And you're going to leave yourself looking good. I'm not like that hypocrite. I'm better than he is. I'm not going to deny it. I wish there wasn't any. But they were here when Jesus was here. And I'm not surprised if there isn't some around here. I don't know who they are, but God bless you, I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't some here in North Little Rock. I know there's a few in DeRidder. I thank God for every one of them. Man down there years ago, Glenn Welburn, he owned a big herd of purebred Bremers. They were beautiful. Every one of them was registered. Every one of them. And he kept them in an improved pasture. Every evangelist that come my way, you know, we evangelist pastors, we try to entertain our evangelists and take them around, show them sights. Well, in that beautiful little paradise called a Ritter, I can show it to them in 30 minutes. There really isn't too much to show. None of it looks as good to them as it does to me. So I wanted something that they had not seen so much of, and I'd always take them out to this ranch. And I'd get Brother Glenn, we'd get on his Jeep, and we'd go across that pasture and see those beautiful purebred Bremers rolling fat. All the exceptions of two or three. And there was two or three in that herd of many that was called rawbone stock cattle. Now you city folks, you don't know what that is. I'll tell you at the church if you want to know. I better tell you now. It's a cow that you just cannot fatten. Now they were registered and they ate as much as any other stock, but they just did not get fat. Raw bones. And he kept two or three of them in his herd all the time. And he said to me one day, I had Brother Murray from Ohio out there, and he said, Brother Glass, if you ever notice these raw bones in my herd? I said, sure, I notice them every time I come. He said, I imagine you wonder why I leave them here. And I said, I have wondered. He said, I'll just tell you. If it wasn't for these raw bones looking so bad, my others wouldn't look so good. It takes these bad ones to make the others look good. You know what I said? I said, thank God for every hypocrite in my church. It makes the others look good. And that could be the reason why God doesn't call them out. To tell you the honest truth, sinner, if there wasn't some good ones, you couldn't pick them out. You've got to pick the good one out before you recognize the other. I like that. If there wasn't a good dollar, there would never be a counterfeit. There's got to be a good dollar to expose the counterfeit. Thank God for good saints that expose hypocrites to the world. Whew. Told your pastor, his wife, I knew they wouldn't remember them too well. I was called down to a little country church below the river where I used to live when I was a boy. That church has had its 60th anniversary here about a month ago. I went out and preached their anniversary service in their 60 years. And I was there, a country boy, when I was
8 or 10 years of age. So, see, I know the church quite well. One of the dearest ladies in the community and in the church died suddenly of a heart attack. 1 week ago tonight, last Thursday night, we went to McNeese University, where your pastor's wife graduated. I went to her graduation. Appreciated her so much. I told our little girl that's graduating this year, I said, thank God for you, Rhonda. You have proven to all young people that you can go through high school, you can go through college, you can get a degree and live for God. You can do it, Rhonda. Sure I'm going to your graduation. Sure I am. I wouldn't miss it, Rhonda. Because you told the world it can be done. And all of these young people that put up their little flimsy excuses, Mother and Dad, you don't know how it is in school today. It's different from the way it was when you were in school, Mother and Dad. Maybe it is, but we still got some, praise God, that's lifted the standard right in the schoolhouses. Let's love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, this dear lady was down there in the shopping center with her son, who's a minister, and his wife. And we went early enough that wife wanted to go shopping center. We ate there, and then we went to the college. And this lady was in the shopping center. I didn't see her, but she was there with her son and his wife. We took them back home, about halfway between Lake Charles and DeRidder, a little country community near the church. Dropped her off about 9 or 10 o'clock. 1 o'clock, he got a telephone call to come back that she was sick. Rushed her to the hospital. At 7, she died of a heart attack. And that shows you how quick you can go. Shopping center, enjoying, lounging around with her children. And before the sun rose the next morning, she's in eternity. Well, I went down. The house was packed and jammed. I got there early enough to investigate. I went around to some of the old-timers that knew her. She was 72 years of age. And she received, one of the first ones to receive the Holy Ghost when they stretched a tent on that land where the church now stands. One of the first. She was 12 years of age. And now she's 72. I looked bold. I looked that crowd in the face. I said, skeptic, rebel, hypocrite, I challenge you today. I challenge. You let the devil put off some old rebel on you. You let the devil drag up a hypocrite and keep you from serving God. Why won't you talk about this lady? Why won't you talk about her? Gave her heart to God when she's 12 years of age. Not a one of you can touch her character, touch her life. Nobody can say anything but good about her. Why don't you people pick out somebody like this if you're going to talk about somebody? And I'd like to let the world know we got them in our churches. We have them. Our churches would not survive if we didn't have them. This church here would fold up in a year's time if there wasn't some faithful, loyal saints of God. Praise the Lord, that's faithful and true to the master. Glory! When you start measuring yourself with someone else, you're going to get somebody that's a step behind you to make you look ahead. Why won't you get somebody that's a step ahead to make you, challenge you to move up? Now, you that don't go to church on Wednesday night, you got company. You have company. There's some others that don't go. And you'll measure yourself on them. Well, so-and-so don't go. That's what you'll do. Justifying yourself.
That's why the scripture said, they that measure themselves by themselves are not wise. You better get your eyes off of what others are doing and do what you know you should do. Brother Dees told me this in his lifetime, and I'm going to tell it just exactly like he told it, because it doesn't sound that they take a man to jail for such, but he drove down to Lake Charles. Lake Charles is 50 miles south of DeRidder and about 8 or 10 times as large, and a lot of shopping goes on in Lake Charles from DeRidder. Brother Dees is down there. He's looking for a place to park. And he drove around and around and around trying to park as close to town as he could. And here is a whole block. And all 2 or 3 signs on that block, no parking on this side. But there was a car parked there. And he kept driving around and around trying to find a park somewhere. And he finally gave up and he thought within himself, well, this car is parked here, I will. Now, he wouldn't have thought of it if that one hadn't have been parked there. And you wouldn't think of a lot of things if somebody else wasn't there. And he told me just exactly, I'm telling you, just like he told. He said, I pulled up and parked, and I locked my car, and I started off, and he said, an officer hollered at me and said, sir, you can't park there. Don't you see that sign? Brother D said, well, but this man has. And the officer said, that's what I'm doing here. I'm waiting for him to take him to jail. Brother D said, I'll move. And I'll tell you this, if you knew how that the devil was waiting for somebody that's practicing some things they're doing, you wouldn't want to get in the saddle with them. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Yeah, you can find somebody doing everything you want to do. You're a member of any church. You want to compare yourself with someone that don't go to church on Wednesday night to make you feel justified in not going, you can do it. But God bless your heart. I don't care where the church is. I can point you out somebody in that church that never misses a Wednesday night. Why don't you measure yourself with them? No, you won't do that. You want to measure with someone that'll make you look real good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've got too much to say. Our church is battling against worldliness today. My 43 years, I've never known a church to fight so hard, battle so hard against the world. It's just determined to come in. You want me to preach what I want to? You take, we'll start with the ladies. I don't know where we'd be if it wasn't for ladies. I'm sincere. I've seen the time that they took most of the load of the church. Did you know women were the last ones at the cross and the first ones to the tomb? Yes, sir. I don't know what churches would do without the ladies. I'm sincere. I'd hate to know I had to pastor a bunch of men. No ladies around. I'm sincere. But we've gone through something. And we haven't overcome it with ladies' dress. No matter how hard the pastor teaches and preaches, you can always pick out somebody in the church whose dress is as short or maybe a little shorter than yours, leaving you to feel good. And you'll measure. You're going to measure with someone
that leaves you looking better than the two. Same way with boys. You've gone through it. Boys. I'd have been the time you didn't have too much trouble with the good old boys.
I really do. I don't want to say this sounding bragging, but I never had one single moment's trouble with either of mine. Never had to talk to them about a haircut. Never. Send them to get to the bar. Not one minute's trouble. I don't know what parents are doing that's having trouble. I guess God was just knew I couldn't cope with it or something. I didn't have it. But boys will do the same thing now. I really feel that I ought to dress more godly, but so-and-so, so-and-so, measure yourself with someone else. It's not wise. It's not wise. I advise every Christian, after you pass the fundamentals of the church, after you pass them, don't argue with them. Measure up to them. And then have a private conviction of your own.
Glory!
Glory! And it makes no difference what others do. You've got a personal conviction.
Glory! That's right. Glory!
I have private personal convictions that I don't try to put off on nobody else.
They're with me and God. It's me and God with them. I don't feel bad at my brethren if they do what I refuse to do. That's them and God. They're measuring up to the fundamentals of the church. They believe in the doctrine. They believe in the practices of the church. But when it comes to consecration and living close to God, I have a personal conviction that I live with, and I don't expect you to do it. And I don't feel bad at you if you don't. It's me. And my God, and I don't measure with you.
Glory to God.
Every saint of God needs a personal conviction.
Just like Daniel. I can't find in the Bible where it said that Daniel had to pray 3 times a day. But he had a conviction with God that he's going to pray 3 times a day. And there's no law going to change him. That's him and God.
I got saved. I had an old preacher friend. Holding up for my daddy. He's dead now. He said, "Brother Glass, you're just starting out with God.
I would advise you to make a habit in the beginning of your Christian life to pray in the morning before you leave the house and pray every night before you go to bed. Pray. Get down and pray." And I started that. And I don't care if I'm getting up to go to Sunday school. I can't leave until I have that time of prayer. Alone. I don't care if I just come out of church all day Sunday. Something inside of me. You must get down and pray before you go to bed. That's a personal consecration and conviction that I can't tell you you're going to hell if you don't practice it. But I'll tell you this, it's a good practice. It's a good one. You heard what your pastor said. He remembers little boy going to his bedside. Leave some memories for someone that's following after you. That's you and God. Don't say others don't. That makes no difference what others do.
way the Lord looks at it too. Jesus said to Peter, when you was young, you guarded yourself and got up and went where you wanted to go. But when you get old, another's going to gird you and take you where you don't want to go. The Bible interprets that as meaning Jesus is telling Peter the death that he was going to have to die. They're going to crucify you just like they did me. You know what Peter said? He said, but Lord, what about this man? That was John over there. What about him? Is he going to die like I have to die? You know what Jesus said? What is it to you, Peter? What is it to you? If I will that John lives till I come, what's that to you? You follow me.
So I've just made up my mind. It's not too much of my business what God is asking you.
Right. I can't back up that way you are. I've got to live all life.
Amen. Praise God. God may have a will for you that he doesn't have for me. He may have one for me he doesn't have for you. Well, praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Any facet of the church that you want to come short in, you can find some company in it. And I want to pay your tithes.
Find somebody sitting in the same pew. You. Boy, don't you feel good
with them? How would you feel with somebody that does?
Boy,
sure got quiet then. I already left that off. I was pastoring and referred to Port Arthur already. There was a young man that baptized him and he got the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't getting along too good. He just holding on by the skin of his teeth, just holding on. Sitting in the back more than he was in the front, never participating too much. We had a service one night, I'm telling you, it was a service. God, just as he's done here, he's done other places. Pastor told me about our boy Greg getting a blessing here the other night. Why, it thrilled me, it thrilled me. All of our churches have these glorious Jubilee nights. I like them. I still thrill with it. Praise God. We had one that night. After church was over, Roy came up to me and he said, Brother Glass, I need help. I said, what's the matter, Roy? He said, these people here act like this church belongs to them. I said, it does. It is theirs. They'll tell you it's theirs. But he said, Brother Glass, I can't feel like it belongs to me. I feel like an outsider. Now, he's asked the pastor to help him. The pastor's got to be honest because here is a wayward child coming to the shepherd for help. I said, Roy, I'll try to help you if you'll be honest with me. But you'll have to be honest with me if I do, if I can. I'll try to be honest. I said, Roy, you look me right in the face. Are you doing everything for God and His cause that you know to do? He dropped his head. I got him on the chin, made him look up. I said, answer me, Roy. Are you? Well, no, I'm not.
I said, Roy, where are you coming short? Tell me now. Where are you failing?
He said, well, Brother Glass, I'm not paying my tithes.
Lord, help me. I said, Roy, let me tell you what let's do. Now, you stay with me in my speaking to you now. I'm going to come by in the morning, Roy, and pick you up in my car. And we're going to make a trip to St. Louis. Now, from Port Arthur to St. Louis, that's a long way. It's not too far from Little Rock. I said, I'm going to come by in my car, and I'm going to pick you up. Blow the horn, and you're going to come running out, and we're going to get in the car. And, Lord, we're going to be buddy, buddy, buddy. And we're going to drive down the road towards St. Louis. You're going to enjoy every moment of it. Every moment of it, Roy, you're going to enjoy it. But after a while, that tank of gasoline's going to play out. And I'm going to pull into a station, and I'm going to fill up that tank with gasoline, and I'm going to pay the bill. We're going to get in the car and take off down the road. You're not feeling too bad, Roy, but you've got some thoughts. After a while, we stop and eat dinner. And we sit there at the table and eat dinner, and I pick up the check and I pay for the dinner. We go back and get in the car. You're not feeling as good as you did when we left, Roy. Well, I haven't done nothing. I haven't changed. I haven't changed a bit. We drive into a motel and we register for the night, and we get up the next morning. I pay the motel bill and I pay for breakfast. Pick up the car and we get on the road again. How are you feeling, Roy? How are you feeling now? He said, I don't think I feel so good, Brother Glass. I said, well, is it me? Is it something I've done against you? No, you've done it all for me. Well, why are you feeling bad? I'm not bearing my part of the burden. I never said no more. He went his way. It was the next Jubilee night. We had iron chairs on the platform, the choir chairs. I had a congregation just come to the platform and sang in those days. No select choir, anybody come. Roy was right up there, one of those folding chairs. And I was sitting here in front. Chairs was piled up on top of one another. And I looked around and Roy was having him a Holy Ghost shouting good time. After church is over, I went around, put my arms around him. I said, Roy, how you feeling? He said, Brother Glass, this is my church.
Lord, hallelujah.
Amen. How do you want to feel? If you wanna find somebody that won't, you can find them. Y'all can sit together, and I guarantee you when you get sitting together, you're gonna start talking against those that does. Justifying yourself. I tell you, friends, I don't care where I go. Campground, general convention, home church, even a visiting church. When you carry your end of the load for the work of God, no matter where you go, you feel like you're a part of it. And you are a part of it. Let's love the Lord. You want to stand with me? You want to stand with me? Let's stand up and love the Lord with all of our heart.
I tell you, the one that we should measure is that perfect pattern, perfect example. Praise the Lord. Jesus, strive and grow until you come into the fullness and the measure of His stature. Thank the Lord. Sister Dyson, I want to sing, and I'm so hoarse I can't. Couldn't sing if I wasn't hoarse. No use to make that be an excuse. I want the pastor to come, and he can lead it. To be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. I don't know nobody in the world I want to be like, but I do want to be like Him. How many of you want to be like Him? Praise the Lord. All right.
To be like Jesus.